So everyone loves a parade, don't they? Maybe that's why this Palm Sunday has always been one of my favorite Sundays of the year. At least it was when I was a little kid. Because not only was there a parade, I got to be part of the parade. And of course, today, our parade wasn't just for the kids, it was for all of us. We all got to be a part of it. As Rick reminded us, as we processed around the church into the sanctuary, everyone rushed out into the streets that day to welcome Jesus as the Messiah. There was so much joy, so much excitement. After generations of faithful waiting, it seemed that God had finally heard everyone's prayers and had sent the Liberator. The cry went up, "Hosanna! Save us now. Save us, please. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." People were so overcome with joy that they began to throw their cloaks down on the ground before Jesus, and they cut palm branches from trees and laid those before Jesus as an act of worship and prayer. Of course, there was some question among scholars as about whether or not there were really palm branches, because in Jesus' time, date palms had not yet been introduced to Jerusalem. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say that the people simply collected branches. But John is very specific. He says they were palm branches. It's not impossible. Palms were native to Jericho, and Jericho was not a very far away. And palm branches would have been a good choice for that day, because palms would have had an extra layer of meaning. To wave a palm branch was a symbolic act in Jesus' time, for the palm was the symbol of Judea, their country. So by waving a palm, they were, as one commentator put it, fanning the flames of Jewish nationalism, for the palm symbolized the Maccabean revolt. It was as if the people were waving Jewish flags and hoping to see Jesus do to the Romans what the Judah Maccabee had done to the Greeks in 164 BC, reestablishing an independent Jewish kingdom. So the people waved and laid their palms before Jesus, their way of welcoming him into their city and into their lives, while at the same time thumbing their nose at Rome. It was their way of proclaiming their hope that things were finally about to change. So when it turned out that Jesus had no intention of picking up the mantle of being a political liberator or a military rebel, the welcome and the joy faded. The mood of the crowd turned on Jesus when he did not act as they expected, and their hopes were disappointed. So I've always pictured this crowd kind of finishing. Jesus comes into the city, and then they kind of look at each other and go, "Well, what now? I guess we'll just go home." And they pick up their cloaks and they leave the palm branches, and that's it. But a couple of years ago, a colleague of mine in St. Louis suggested there may have been more palms involved in this story than those that were left on the road that day. In fact, there are palms all through this story, not this kind of palm that grows on a tree, but the kind of palm that each of us carries every day. This palm. And if you keep your eyes on the palms like these in the story, you will find that they lead you through the highs and the lows, the wonder and the horror of this coming week. So as we begin, as I read, I invite you to watch for the action of the palms, the hands. Imagine that there's a camera that moves from scene to scene, zooming onto the palms of this set of hands, and then on to the next, revealing the devotion and the fickleness of the disciples, the treachery of Jesus' enemies, and the depth of Jesus' love. The story begins with an unnamed woman taking a jar of costly oil into the palms of her hands and pouring it over Jesus' head. She is anointing Jesus, setting him apart, preparing him for the task that is ahead. It is an act of worship and compassion and extravagant love, which is quickly offset by the betrayal of Jesus. Picking up chapter 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, Judas began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him at one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And Jesus replied, "You have said so." There are two sets of hands. Again, there were the women's hands that were engaged in an act of devotion, anointing Jesus' head with oil. But what are Judas's hands doing here? They're reaching to take, opening and cupping to receive 30 pieces of silver, the price on Jesus' head. And they're dipping the bread into the bowl to reveal himself as the betrayer. The woman offers the best she has to honor Jesus. Judas' hands grab what he can in order to get what he can get. Now fade back to that upper room as the disciples share the Passover meal. Even in light of the betrayal of Judas, Jesus remains focused. He takes up the bread in his palms and he breaks it. Then he takes the cup and he shares it. And then after the meal, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he wrestles with God, his palms are squeezed together in prayer. Let's pick up the story again in 26:47. While Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given him a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to Judas, "Friend, do what you have to do here." Then he came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all of the disciples deserted Jesus and fled. So what are the palms up to now? They're on the hands laid on Jesus to arrest him. And there is a palm gripping a sword and bringing it down and slicing off the ear of a servant. Violence is on the edge of erupting, but Jesus puts a stop to it. While it isn't stated, I imagine him raising his hands, palms out, signaling, "Wait, stop, hold on a minute. That isn't the way it's going to be." And so the palms take hold of Jesus and lead him to the high priest, where he is convicted of blasphemy and is struck, slapped, mocked, while Peter lingers outside by the fire, trying to hide his affiliations, denying that he even knows Jesus, not just once, but three times. Meanwhile, Judas, distraught over his actions, empties his palms of the 30 pieces of silver and ends his life. At which point Jesus is handed over to Pilate. Chapter 27, verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. When Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, a governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to him, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water, washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, handed him over to be crucified. Pilate finds himself in a difficult position. On the one hand, he senses that Jesus has done nothing deserving of punishment. On the other, the leaders of the Jewish community, the ones whose cooperation he must have in order to govern, want this man put to death. So he tries to hand the decision over to the people. Whom do you choose to free, the criminal Barabbas or Jesus, the rabbi? When they chose Barabbas, Pilate realizes he has no choice, and the camera zooms in to watch him wash his hands of the whole mess. From that point on, the pace of the story accelerates. Jesus is handed over to soldiers who use their hands to bend thorns into a crown, to mock him, who take up a reed to beat him. Then there are the palms of the soldiers holding the hammer and driving in the nails. And of course, in the end, there are the open hands of Jesus, those palms stretched out on the cross. By keeping our eyes on the palms, we witness the best and the worst we can and have offered in response to the coming of Jesus, God with us. And the palms reveal two paths we can follow on our way to the cross. First, there is the way of misunderstanding, failure, fear, demonstrated by the palms that betray, that try to avoid making a decision, that lead Jesus to his death. Palms that arrest him, mock him, nail him to a cross. But there's another possibility revealed by the palms in this story. The palms that offer the praise and welcome the coming of Jesus with palm branches. They pour out the best of what we have to bless him and show our devotion. Like Simon, we could join Jesus under the cross and share the burden. We could join our palms with those that carefully took the body off the cross and lovingly laid him to rest in the tomb. My guess is that none of us will manage to stay the course on either path. But it is my prayer that even in those times when we lose our grip, when we fail to trust, when we betray Jesus and neglect to be faithful disciples, that we will still grab hold of the love offered to us in Jesus, finding strength and community in a loaf of bread and a shared cup, seeking God's will as we fold them in prayer, reaching out to stop violence and seek peace, opening ourselves to the transforming and saving power of love demonstrated by the open palms of Jesus on the cross. And so as we begin this journey through the last days of Jesus' life, as we follow Jesus toward that cross and beyond, let us come just as we are, sometimes strong and sometimes frail, sometimes faithful, and sometimes fearful, but always keeping our eyes on the palms, not just the palms of the story, but our own palms as well, that we may grab hold of the love that is offered to us and respond with heart and hand and waving palms, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.